This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Last year, the Creek Fire and other blazes around California sent so much smoke into the San Joaquin Valley that, at times, the air was brown and ashes rained down like snowflakes. We know long-term air pollution is bad for our health, but what about these short-term bursts from wildfires? To learn more, FM89's Carrie Klein sat down with Kevin Hamilton, executive director of the Central California Asthma Collaborative. He began the conversation with just how noxious last year's fire season was.
It was a rolling disaster. It just seemed like fire after fire dropping tons of really toxic particulate matter on residents here in the valley. I think our air pollution index was in the unhealthy range for probably two-thirds of the 7-8 months we had wildfires going on.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned this toxic particulate matter. Is that the most harmful, component of wildfire smoke? What makes wildfire smoke harmful?
So it's mostly the black carbon. So you've got black and brown carbon, different types of carbon. Carbon acts in a couple of different ways. It binds at that level because it's so tiny, it can be molecular. So it can bind with other things to create toxic materials out of things that weren't originally toxic. Ammonium nitrate is a good example, which is something that we see in the valley here, usually in the late fall, early winter. But now we've suddenly got it happening other times of year. It also causes irritation to the lung tissue down there, which opens the lung up to outside infection. And in a period of time when we've got viruses like COVID running around, which again are respiratory viruses, makes those people more vulnerable to those diseases. And over time, that damage can create diseases like emphysema. Now, you would have to be exposed regularly, year after year. Does this sound familiar to you? And so that's what we seem to be seeing since what, 2012, 2013? Worst fires ever, and the fire period, the wildfire period, seems to be extending.
Well, so the health impacts of these particles, of this particulate matter, you know, they're relatively well documented, as you said, especially in the long term, associated with long-term exposure. But so, you know, we may have wildfires year after year after year, but they presumably only happen for a short period of time. So are these short bursts of wildfire smoke, are they still harmful in the long run?
I think the short period myth is slowly breaking because they're successive. And so, and the Creek Fire, for example, went on for a month and change. So the periodicity of the fire, I think, is changing as well. Back in the day, yeah, wildfires came, gone, 2-3 weeks, see you later. Next one comes a month later or something. But now they're just rolling right over top of each other. One ends, the other begins. So, you know, the short-term health effects is, of course, for people with irritable airway diseases like asthma, it's going to trigger that. For people who have high blood pressure, it's going to drive their blood pressure up. For people who are vulnerable to high blood pressure, they're also vulnerable to stroke. So you may see higher rates of stroke. You know, the health implications are wide. We know that black carbon affects development of the fetus, so there's a problem there as well. That's been really well documented by our local Children's Health and Air Pollution Study Group from Berkeley and Stanford and UCSF. And UC Davis has documented similar outcomes. So other than that, just the irritation of the eyes, nose, and the skin itself, it shouldn't be discounted as a constant irritant that opens people up again to other disease conditions or makes their chronic disease worse. It's a bad actor.
And so far, we've mostly been talking about these tiny particles, PM2.5, but then, of course, there are larger particles, PM10. There's ash, which you can visibly see. Are these harmful as well?
All the same. You inhale ash, you're inhaling not just the ash, which will mostly be stopped in your mouth and nose, but there's always particles that are going to escape. And again, it's going to trigger coughing fits. It's going to cause what looks like allergic rhinitis, but of course isn't. It's just a runny nose and red eyes from being exposed to this. It also gets in your ears and can cause a problem there.
And so where can we go during wildfire season or even during the rest of the year? You know, where should people go to get real-time information about the air quality in their area?
There's two places to go, really three. So I would say primary would be the Air District's website and sign up for the real-time air advisory network. The other place to go is the network that, with our partners here in the San Joaquin Valley, we've developed called sjvair.org, where we have only PM2.5 monitors, and data is being calibrated regularly using the standard APA-approved algorithms. And it also contains all the Air District's, CARB's, and EPA's regulatory monitors. And as of the end of this month, people will be able to sign up for a text notification when PM2.5 rises. And you can actually trace the smoke as it's moving down across this really robust group of monitors that's far more dense than the regulatory monitoring system. And then EPA would be the third. Not suggesting any bias, but the new administration has reopened the EPA for business, in our world at least. The web pages are working again, and we're able to access some of the really wonderful and accurate information on wildfire that the EPA has always had and continues to create. So those are the three places I would go.
Fair enough. And for the EPA, their tool is specifically called Air Now, correct?
Thank you.
Yes, it's an app and a website.
I should say that, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
it's very cool.
Yes, indeed. And they have a neat map and everything, a color-coded map.
Better graphics than anybody, yeah.
So there have been a few episodes of bad air already this year, but the worst of fire season is obviously still ahead of us. So is there anything that we can do now to prepare for if and when the smoke settles over the valley?
One thing that's really critical is secure your home environment. So if you haven't done it, take a look at the seals on your doors. If you can afford it, I hope you have double pane or triple pane windows, but at least make sure they close tightly. This is not the time to open the windows and doors, even in the morning or at night when these wildfires are going on, for those who are able to tolerate that. We have a huge number of people in the valley who still are living with things like swamp coolers and with broken air conditioning units or no air conditioning. For those folks, this is a very difficult time. Masks, the only mask that's been proven completely effective is the N95, which is very difficult to wear in a working environment, though there are some great projects with farm workers that our colleagues, CCEJN, Southern California Environmental Justice Network, are running. But the problem that you have is not just the wildfire, but the incredible heat that we experience here in the valley. So I'm hoping that cities will open up cooling centers and start thinking about wildfire smoke. Well, maybe it's not 105 degrees, which is their trigger now for that. And so people could go there, libraries, places like that.
And I imagine part of securing the home is also checking and replacing air filters, you know, if people have, you know,
it's a shame that I missed that. You're absolutely right. And we hand filters out to our asthma patients for their HVAC systems, MERV 13 filters. And it's important to use the highest filter your system can stand. You can always look at the manufacturer of your air conditioning unit and look online, and they'll be able to tell you what filter is the most dense it can take. The filters are a little expensive for folks. The MERV 13s tend to run somewhere between $15 and $20 a piece. The good news is you shouldn't have to change them more than every 2 or 3 months. But it's a pretty cheap investment to make. I tell people it's the most effective thing you can do to breathe clean air in your home is to change that filter out for that MERV 13 filter. And they sell them at all the home stores. So,
and for those without central air, is attaching a filter to like a box fan, is that effective?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, using a MERV 13 filter and a 20 by 20 box fan, we've been measuring the velocity of air and the amount of air moving through these fans. And we were able to show that in the average box fan you would buy from Costco or Home Depot, we ordered fans from different manufacturers and did this test using what's called an anemometer. And we were able to show that in the average 1,000-square-foot home, you could clean all the air through a fan in about 15 to 20 minutes. And you'll be able to look at it so you'll know when it's getting dirty. And that will also tell you, wow, that was in my air, because you will see that dirt accumulate on the back of that filter. I highly recommend them for everybody, actually.
Well, fantastic. Well, Kevin Hamilton, Executive Director of the Central California Asthma Collaborative, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Carrie.